Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. We're here. We're living the dream. It is December 10th, wink, right now. We're doing good. We hope you guys are doing good. Hope you had good holidays and all that good stuff. Our stranger today goes by the name of Lance Cook. Is that right?
That's right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks for being here,
happy,
man.
Happy to be here.
I've known one Lance in my life, and he was a degenerate. I'm going to be honest with you.
I know two.
Yeah.
One was a cyclist. And okay. The other one was gay.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, both of those stories. What? Are we talking about the same Lance cyclist, by the way?
Yeah, Lance Armstrong.
Yep.
And the other one was in NSYNC, and he was gay.
I don't think he was gay. I think he might still be gay. Lance Bass, legend.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
By the way,
I've had a
is gay.
There's a gay comic here who will be like, ugh, so I got to go to this Lance Bass party afterwards. And I'm always like, unbelievable that you just would say that to me, straight faced.
Was,
pun intended.
I'm sorry. Hey.
Lance, tell me about yourself, man.
A comic that works at the comic store. Sorry, I said was.
Yeah, don't apologize for anything. That's the most important thing about this podcast. Okay. Is we apologize for nothing here.
All right, done and done.
Where are you from, Lance?
I live in Livermore, California.
Livermore, okay, that's north.
That is north from here. It's in the east part of the Bay Area of California.
Okay. And are you born and raised there, or is that just where you live?
Good enough, kind of. I mean, I've lived in California my whole life. I lived in South San Francisco and South Lake Tahoe.
All right.
But lived in Livermore most of my life.
South Lake Tahoe is a weird place. It's very strange. I'm just going to put it out there. I did shows there one week, and it was one of the oddest groups of people I've ever interacted with.
It's a tourist town.
Yeah.
And it's weird that I want to stick up for that town since I only lived there until I was six. But I do travel there often, and it's a good place. You can gamble there. You can have a good time by the lake.
Yeah.
It does attract a strange kind of people.
Yeah.
Because there's gambling.
Yeah. There's
like Sarah Tiana would like to go to South Lake.
Does she gamble up there?
There's gambling there.
Yeah.
So she'll go there because there's gambling there.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the first night I'm like, oh, this is pretty chill. And then after that, the people just got weirder and stranger, and some of the worst comedy crowds I've ever performed for.
Did you go during snow season, or was it?
Yeah, it was in April. It was like,
ooh,
it was right towards
weird,
the end.
A weird time of year.
Yeah, it was like the ski season was ending, but then it snowed the three of the days I was there. And so people were excited about that, but it just felt very The Shining with a crowded casino.
That would be considered
Harvey's, I think it was.
Yeah, that would be considered slush season.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's not a good time to go skiing during slush season.
No.
And then you have nothing left to do besides a gamble.
Right.
And then you go to the Nevada side, and they don't have air circulation like Vegas does, so you get a lot of cigarette smoke.
Yeah, you definitely do. And there was a lot of cigarette smoke, and one of the shows, there was probably 16 people, and I want to say every one of them wanted to fight at some point. Like, that was the demographic who came to the... It was like a fake improv, too. It's not even like a real improv comedy club. And just literally belligerent people, one at a time, just standing up and being like, why don't you shut your mouth and we'll go outside? I'm like, this is not what I was expecting at all, but...
Well, as a Californian, I would just say those people came from Nevada.
That's clear as day. Clear as day.
They came from the other side?
One of...
There is a hill...
Yeah.
It's called the Sierra Nevada Mountains.
Sure.
And those people came from
a hill.
Nevada.
There is a hill.
Yeah. It's pretty big.
I would rank it top three mountain ranges in America.
You're actually exactly second, because it's the second the one that would go, the Rocky Mountains are number one.
Number one by far.
Sierra
the gold
Nevada.
Standard of mountains. Sierra and then Nevada, the Appalachians can two. They can really they, suck my ass. I don't know if we have a lot of listeners in the Appalachian areas, but you know exactly.
Yeah, no,
what
you
I'm
do.
About. Yeah.
And I've been listening and they care, but they're still third.
They're exactly. still, but without they're, question. You know, yeah.
I mean, it's just a fucking fact. I yeah. think they're third.
And the southern Appalachian area is way better than the northern Appalachian, where it's like those bougie Vermont assholes. I'm not into them at all. I just want to put, I don't know if I can insult every region of America here.
I agree 100%.
Lance, you're bringing it out right now. You're making me feel the rage for some reason.
I agree 100% with whatever you say, Rick. Let's keep it coming.
So one of the stats I have here is that you worked at a roping arena. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
It sounds racist. I assume it's not.
Well, there was only white people there.
Oh, okay. So it's no longer racist. We're in the clear.
Yeah.
What
besides,
does that mean?
Besides the horses, there was only white people there.
And this is what, rodeo style? This is.
So it's team roping.
Okay.
So it's funny that. I mean, everybody knows what team roping is, of
yeah.
course, right? Like, I can just say that. Everybody said, knows yeah. what it is.
All of our listeners were like, duh.
Yeah. So when everybody's been to a rodeo,
yeah,
every single listener has ever.
I'm course. From Kansas City, so I've been
so
to a rodeo.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. You were the dummy in the middle.
Yeah. Right? I would have been the
so
clown.
So in between when there's a dummy in the middle, they do team roping. And so basically a steer is let loose from a chute, and then there's a head roper. And then he ropes the head of the steer, turns it, and then the tail roper has to come in and loop both legs. So ideally, he ropes both legs.
In one swoop.
One swoop, and then they do it for a time.
Got it.
So that's the idea of the game. So this is done in professional rodeos. You can watch it on TV. And most of the time, it's done... kind of like almost backyard rodeos, and I worked on one that was kind of like the in between, like a mid
semi pro rodeo.
Yeah, so everybody pay to play.
Got it.
And then if somebody, well, ultimately everybody wins the game.
Sure.
Right, and then so they take home. So on a good weekend, so we would do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you did all 3 days, you could win thousands of dollars.
Oh, okay.
So, but I just worked behind that. But you know, I told her that because it's kind of interesting. But, yeah. So I just worked behind the chutes. Or
got it.
I worked the chute. You know, so you're just dealing with, literally steer shit the entire time. For
nice.
3 days.
Nice. So that's dream type shit. When I was in. I lived in Colorado one summer during college, and it was like a smaller town, and they had a local rodeo company came through, and they did a lot of the traditional rodeo stuff that I saw at like the American Royal Rodeo in Kansas City growing up. But then they had this weird event where they had a bunch of children riding on sheep, and and then the sheep are just running around just bucking children off. And I remember started watching. I'm like, who the fuck is letting their kids do this? And then there was just so many happy parents watching their kids just get
just getting bucked.
Tossed in the dirt. That's my last rodeo experience.
I think my dad came to watch me once because, like, yeah, I'm working the, like, because you work your way up, right? Like, you start at the back and you're just wrangling steers and then. You like kind of like it's like almost like the way that it, if you can imagine like a, just a huge stall or a huge arena, there's a stall that comes off the side. So as they come out the back, like if you watch, you know, even just like bunking Broncos or bunking Bulls,
yeah.
right? They have to go somewhere. So if you're on the shit end of the stick, you're at the end.
Yeah.
So then you have to wrangle them, and then that's the worst place to be, right? So then as you work up, like, you start moving them up. You start moving up the stalls to the front.
Less likely to just get kicked.
Yeah, because you're at the end, you're going to get your ass kicked, and then eventually you work your way up till you work the chute, till you're in charge. So if you watch, like, a PBR event, so pro bull roping or bull riding event, like the guys in the front, they know what they're doing. So the same idea. And so if you're doing team roping, you're in the front and then you're going to let them go.
Right.
And then you let them go. So once you finally get there, then you've made it, but you've also made it there to making $12 an hour.
Like, yeah. You're like, finally, I'm still barely scraping
now,
by. But I'm...
Now the boss yells at you less and gives you a $2 raise because you're good enough to be in the front.
The dream.
Where you can just get yelled at by more old white people.
Less actual shit happening, though, directly in your face. I mean, that's the real benefit, it seems like.
Yeah, there's way less shit in your face. You just have to deal with people. That, ironically, it's better to be in the back because you're only talking to steers.
Right.
Instead of just drunk. I mean, imagine, because we're not talking, there's no fucking TV cameras there, right?
Right.
So on a Friday at 9 o'clock, there's two guys trying to rope a steer and they're yelling at you when you're 14 years old.
Yeah.
You're making $12 an hour.
When I was 14, I was a Little League umpire, and I made, I think I made $25 a game, and it was a two-hour game in the middle of summer, and it was absolutely miserable, but no one was shitting in front of me. So, you know, some wins, some losses, I guess.
Well, what color pants were they wearing?
I mean, they were wearing all the pants. I was wearing basically suit pants because they want umpires to look...
Well, might have
respectable,
been...
even though I was 14. I weighed like 75 pounds. I was probably 5'1". But I did get to toss someone from a game. That was one of my career highlights. Was these kids were third graders, and I had the dad come out and get in my face, yelling at me about it. And my cousin, who's a baseball scout for the Padres now, was the other umpire. We did it together. And he literally was just looking at me like, ring him up. And I'm like, oh, sweet, I can do this? You know, it was one of those moments where I'm like, this is fucking great.
Show us your ring up move.
I gave him a big old, you're gone! A lot of my inspiration as an umpire was basically Adam Sandler movies. I would give a big, huge strike three call, too. And no one ever threw three strikes, but I would still ring people up if it was even close. Like, sit down! And third graders looking at you like... They only let me do it for one season for some reason. I'm not 100% sure on that.
That's a better move than the Cowboy Joe West right there.
Yeah. One of the worst umpires out there.
Thank you.
Says here you got bit by a rattlesnake. Is that true?
I have a great rattlesnake story.
Okay, I'm listening.
Ready?
Very few people have any rattlesnake stories, so... you got to get prepared. Stretch it out.
So once upon a time, no, I was a cart kid. I was like outside. I worked at a fucking golf course. I was a cart kid at a golf course, and these four guys came walking out from the bar. They walked to their car, and they're like all jumping around. Four guys, four older men. I was 18. And like, oh, it's a fucking rattlesnake. So I walked out there, and we were in charge of mangling rattlesnakes or whatever we had to do. Like, just basically just had to get rid of them. And so there was a baby rattlesnake. It was right by the tire of their car. And came out there. I was like, all right, guys. It's like you four guys get back. I got this. And I had the stick with a rope on it where you catch it. And one of the guys like, I want to hold it. And I was like, no.
This is the problem with dudes in general. Just, my buddy's going to think I'm badass if I hold this rattlesnake.
They were all four of them. They were in, it was a 69 Mustang, and it was all done up. And the best part is because the golf clubs didn't all fit in the car. So the guy in the front seat had he was holding his golf clubs in his lap.
What a bitch move.
But they rode on a cool car.
Yeah.
Because I was there when they got there. So I was like, oh, how about this? I got like joking around, but also I want tips because I'm fucking 18 years old.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So, it was a really cool car. Hey, where'd it go? And then like, he's like, hey, I want to hold it. I'm like, And we're used to, I'm not Steve Irwin. I'm not used to like handling snakes, but I get rid of snakes.
Sure.
Right? Like I kill the snake and it goes away and then it's fine. Because I want to fucking hold it. I was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea, sir. I want you guys to just get on your way.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I can, I want to hold it. Because I had it pinned with a, you know, with a 7-iron.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking badass.
Obviously.
Right? Had it pinned, but I also had, I was ready to get rid of it.
The 7-iron, the rattlesnake iron is that it's known in the golfing world.
Yeah. Well, if you're a cart kid long enough, you know how to handle a 7-iron and a rattlesnake.
Sure. You don't have to tell me, man. I get it.
I know you know what I'm talking yeah. about, right? So, got it pinned, and I picked it up, and so I got, but you got to hold it close to the head. I mean, you know that,
it'll
right?
It'll turn its head and bite you otherwise, yeah. So yeah.
So, I got, because I'm not allowed to kill it in front of customers. I mean, that's a course rule.
Dude,
because normally I would have just went up and
whacked
it.
That thing, yeah.
So I got it, and I'm going to go get rid of it. And he's like, come on, man, let me hold it. Let me hold it. And his buddies are egging him on like, oh, you're a fucking pussy. You can't hold a fucking rattlesnake. So, again.
Good friends.
At this point in the story, I'm 7 years old, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think you should hold it. And he just keep his buddies keep egging him on. I'm like, all right, so if you want to hold it, you have to grab right below my fingers.
Right.
Right below them. You can't go lower.
Yeah.
Just right here.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, cool. He grabs it like 2 inches lower.
Yeah.
It immediately fucking bites his finger, and he falls to the ground, and he's going like, This guy's hammered, right? Way more hammered than I am right now. Way more.
That's a standard. I like that.
Yeah. And he's just going like, what the fuck did you do to me? What the fuck did you do to me? And I'm like, I told you to grab right here. And his buddy's like, dude, he should have grabbed below your fingers. And yeah. I was like, I know. But he's laying on, now he's laying on the ground. And I run inside the pro shop.
Where's the rattlesnake at this point?
That was a great... It just went right back where it should have been.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like right back in the weeds. So I go.
That's the classic rattlesnake sound effect.
So I run inside the pro shop. It's like, this guy got bit by a rattlesnake. What do I got to do? They're like, I already called 911. And so if I'm, this is the best part about telling stories. So now I'm 6. And, the guy in the pro shop who's like 17 goes like, use this. He hands me a snake bite kit. I'm like, oh, awesome. Good. This guy's good as gold. So I run out there. There's this plastic kit, right? This plastic kit. So I start opening up. The guy's laying on the ground. His buddy's like, fuck this guy. I should have been home. Like you can, like the same stories I tell now. Like I told my wife I'd be home for 3 for dinner. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm 18. I don't give a shit. I'm like, whatever. Like, just leave him. So I start opening this kit. I'm reading the directions. It says, make a 1/4-inch by 1/4-inch injection with this scalpel around the snake bite. And then use this suction cup to suck out the venom.
Yeah. Classic.
So I've got the guys laying on the ground, and I have a scalpel, and I'm wearing a shirt that says, I work at Wente Vineyards.
Yeah.
Staff.
The guy you
and
are.
I'm making 1/4-inch deep marks into his thumb by, I'm like, okay, I think I just stabbed you by 1/4-inch deep.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go 1/4-inch this way, and then 1/4-inch this way. And I use a suction cup, and the whole time the guy's moaning because he just got bit by a fucking rattlesnake.
Yeah, it's not one of the better days.
The guy's moaning. He's hammered, and I'm going like, fuck. And then so I do the suction. Obviously, nothing's going to come out of your thumb with a suction cup, not in the snake bite kit.
Yeah.
And then 911 comes there, and the first thing the MT says, like, Did you do the scalpel? Did you do a snake bite kit? I was like, yeah. I mean, he was like, you're a fucking idiot because you're actually pushing the venom in further.
Smart.
I was like, Well, I just did what my boss, like, he's like, get the fuck out. Like, I thought I'm helping this old fucking bastard.
Dude, one of my old neighbors, when I lived in Sherman Oaks, I lived down the hall from this old couple. They were probably 80. And, you know, I'd see him in the hallway. They were nice. The guy was like president of the HOA at one point, but then he started really losing his mind, so they kicked him out. So one day, I look at my phone, it says it's him, and I'm like, what does this guy call me for? So I answer it, and it's his wife, and she's like, Rick, are you home? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, Harold fell out of bed last night, and he's been on the floor for like 4 hours, and I need you to come down and take a look at him. And I'm like, why the fuck would you call me? I was like a 30-year-old comedian. So I go down there, I'm just like, yeah, so did you call 911? She's like, no, I don't think you'd want me to do that. And I'm like, Harold, are you all right? He's like, yeah, I think you should probably call 911. She's like, do we really need to? I'm like, yeah, I think so. She's like, well, just pick him up and put him on the bed. And I'm just like, I can't pick this old dude up. So I'm like struggling to try and get this guy up. And the whole time he's just like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is not good. So I'm like, do you call the 911? She's like, we'll call him once he's on the bed. So I struggle and I eventually get him onto the bed. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go call 911. She was like, I don't think we need to now. I'm like, we do. So I go back to my apartment, and my wife is like, where were you? I'm like,
you're married?
Yeah. Shocking. Can you believe that shit?
Nah.
So they go, they said, yeah, Harold fell out of bed, and his wife called me, and my wife goes, why the fuck did they call you? I go, I have no idea. I honestly, like, there was like one time where there was a leak in a pipe in the garage and someone was like, hey, are you home? And I'm like, sure. And then after that, they were like, just call Rick for everything. So I'm like standing there. I call 911 and they're like, yeah, we already got a call for that location. I'm like, cool. And so like 10 minutes later, ambulance, fire truck, everything pulls up and they go on, they're helping them out. So I go out, standing in the hallway, and they bring him down, and this dude is like full on cardiac arrest, and I'm just like,
Sarah thinks that's
funny. Yeah, I'm just like, wait, I'm like, this isn't good.
There's an old man dying. Sarah laughs.
I go, hey, so I'm one of the people who called. You know, I helped get him on the bed, and they're like, yeah, you shouldn't move someone when they're like that. I'm like, oh, I'm a comedian, so the paramedic's like, what? And so they take him out, and then like 3 days later, I'm like, hey, so how's Harold? And they're like, oh, he died. I'm like, oh. And like, so now I always talk about with my wife, where I'm like, so remember when I helped kill Harold? She was like, you tried to save him. I'm like, yeah, but I shouldn't be trying to save anybody. That's what it reminds me of, the an old man down. And they're like, just have the kid help him. Give him the snake bite kit. You know how to work a scalpel. You can stop a snake with a severing iron.
I just got a follow-up story to that.
Yeah.
A few months later, I see the guy, that same guy that was like, yeah, give me the snake, you fucking pussy. He was walking in with his wife. And because they had sued, everybody sued each other, and I got in trouble for
allowing him to.
I got in trouble for handing a snake to one of our customers. I mean, you break it down. I did hand a snake to one of our. Yeah. So the guy's walking in, and he's got a brace on his arm. They're just doing full suing people stuff, and his wife. Walked over because I'm standing at the podium like a proper cart kid.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you the one that handed my asshole husband the snake? I was like, yes, sorry, ma'am. You know, I'm really sorry. She's like, he's a fucking idiot. And I wish you would have handed it to him again.
Damn.
And then walked inside.
Yes.
Just like. She knew what she was doing, and then she walked inside, and then they probably asked for millions of dollars.
Yeah, most
because
likely.
He got fucking bit by a snake for a fucking crack kid and handed him a snake.
She's like, next time, put it on his neck.
Yeah.
I want his money. She probably put the rattlesnake under the tire, if we're being real. These women, they can be vindictive.
Well, you're married.
Yeah.
We know that now.
Yeah.
You know.
Cat's out of the bag on that one.
You've been keeping that close to the vest over there.
If I ever see a rattlesnake, first thing I'm going to do is call my wife and be like, what are you doing? You think I'm going to fall for the old rattlesnake bit?
An old rattlesnake trick? Yeah. I'm not buying a Mustang.
Yeah. And I like you were like, it was a cool car, and all I'm thinking is there was four dudes in it. Doesn't seem that cool at that point.
No.
If you're riding solo in your sweet Mustang, then yeah, sweet ride. If you got the boys with you, now it's just creepy old dudes in a Mustang.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, cart kid mind, right? Like,
right.
Mustang's rolling in.
You're picturing
like, I'm going like, all right, guys rolling in. Sounds like Sunday driving. You got four guys that look like me.
Yeah.
You know, jumping out of the back. Not cool then.
Right.
Because why wouldn't you just drive your fucking Tahoe and then we all jump out with a bunch of golf clubs?
That's exactly right. And when a dude has to hold his golf clubs, that's when it gets...
In your lap, it's not good.
Yeah, you're just like, this isn't cool, man.
No,
you seem like a loser.
Not. Yeah. And that's an important part of this story.
Another interesting fact I have here is it just says water balloon T-top in high school. And there's, I'm guessing you threw water balloons in someone's T-top. Camaro, Trans Am, what are we talking about here? Firebird.
Fucking Firebird, Jesus Christ.
The reason I bring up Firebird is I when I was in college, I knew a dude
I wanted to tee you off on the Firebird story.
Yeah.
That's why I said Firebird.
I get it. There was immediate anger there. I've reached a trigger somehow.
So I wrote that story down mostly because it's an awesome story.
It's a good reason.
So the town that I grew up in has a lab. So Livermore Lawrence Lab is the town I grew up in. So there are security guards that, and the lab's kind, not really in the middle of town. It's on the kind of outskirts of town.
As labs tend to be.
Yeah, not in the middle like the Simpsons. But we used to fuck with the lab security guards, right? You can drive all around the lab. And so my buddy had a Camaro, not a Firebird, because those are gay. In a bad way, not in a negative.
Listen, man.
Hey.
So
I mean this in the, I don't even know how to say.
You're saying the 1900s on dude insult. That sounded weird.
I mean gay in the 1990s way,
yeah.
Not in the 2020s way.
Yeah, all okay. Right?
For all the listeners out there.
We can't get canceled. They don't even know we exist. So you can say whatever you want.
Just so we know.
Yeah. All right.
So we used to fuck with the guards.
Yeah.
So they're Camaro T-tops, and there used to be guards that sit around the lab. So we used to drive around the lab. You can do a full, go all the way around it, and we'd throw water balloons at them on Saturdays.
Nice.
You know, a couple of kids just doing, yeah.
Hey, is it the weekend yet? Are we gonna go water balloon the guards down at the lab? Obviously.
So, but then they would chase us, but they weren't allowed to go over the speed limit because they're guards.
Sure.
So
it's a liability.
Right. So we would do that, and they'd chase us for a couple laps, and then they'd give up, and then so, you know, I don't know what they're laughing about.
Small town hijinks, it sounds like. I can relate to this. I once threw a full slushie.
They weren't allowed to go the speed limit.
Yeah. They're chasing in a car. This is a full-on car chase.
So after a couple weekends, am I talking in the mic?
Yeah.
After a couple weekends, we're like, well, these guys are pussies. Let's start hitting some other people.
Smart.
So...
share the wealth.
Take the T-tops off, right?
Yeah.
And we go downtown, and we start launching water balloons.
Yeah.
And we got one Taylor. And by Taylor, I mean the guy to chase us.
Yeah.
So we take off, and this truck behind us, they were not happy that we just drove downtown while they were getting their truck, and we nailed them with water balloons.
Yeah. People get mad about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we take off. We're like, go to the lab. Go to the lab. They can't catch you there.
Yeah. You're like 30-0 there. You know you're gonna win that.
So we head to the lab, and we just start. I mean, it's probably a. When I say probably, it's exactly 2 miles.
Okay.
To go all the way around the lab.
Obviously.
I mean,
you know the distance. You got to time this thing.
This is Lawrence
perfect.
Livermore Lab in Kansas.
Yeah.
But if you go all the way around, so like go to the lab because then the guy is going to catch the other guy.
Right.
This is our thinking. Right?
Smart. Like pin them against each other.
Yeah. He's going to catch that guy, not us. So we're hauling ass. So, I mean, I don't want to say names, but I have an old friend. His name's Nico.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's never going to hear this.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, because we have T-tops and we have a bucket full of water balloons.
Yeah.
He stood up inside of a Camaro and was rifling water balloons. Imagine, I don't know if you can imagine a Camaro with T-tops. He stands up and he's just throwing water balloons at the truck behind us.
Yeah.
And just like middle finger and everybody.
Yeah, he's stone
cold
Steve
Austin. But we got
to
the lab, and as soon as you get to the lab, the guy, you know, they throw up the blinkers, but he's only going 35.
Right.
So he's slowly following us all the way around. We just keep going around, and we just keep throwing water balloons at this truck, and we just keep going around and around and around.
Yeah.
To a certain point, the truck just pulled off.
Yeah.
That was late. Then there was it. And then the security guard that knew exactly who we were. He was like, he couldn't do anything.
Yeah, he said, hijinks has ensued. Like, be on your way,
boys.
We
didn't get our ass kicked by that fucking redneck in that truck. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And Nico with his shirt off throwing water balloons at him.
I mean, that changes the visual. Now that we know the shirt's off, this guy's more aggressive than initially anticipated.
He was a thing to look at, too. He's a good-looking guy.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
I've never met
a Nico
married,
who he's
wasn't.
He's been married three times.
God, legendary.
Yeah.
He's the type of dude who's been there and done that.
Absolutely.
We once threw a full slushy at a mall security guard at Oak Park Mall, and literally we drove by, and he was probably as far away from me as you are, and just heaved it at him, hanging out the window, and I literally just drilled him square in the chest, sprayed up all over his face, and then we just both, the car I was in, slowed down, and then we're like, what the fuck? And then chubby dude just started chasing the car, and we just sped the fuck off. But then it always felt weird because I worked at the mall, and so 2 days later I had to go to the mall, and it's like, do you think you recognize me? And they're like, yeah, you were standing 4 feet away from him. But, you know, when you're young, throwing things at people seems like a good idea always.
Always.
Yeah. All right, so should we?
Whatever.
All right, we're gonna stop for a minute, and I'm gonna bring on Sarah, and we're gonna ask some more questions to get to the bottom of some of this hijinks.
Sounds great. Can't wait.
We'll be right back. Nico is not gonna be here. stick around. Thanks, guys.
Say hi to everyday people.
All right, guys, welcome back. Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. Sarah is here. We are going to ask some more questions of Lance, get to the bottom of this, find out where we can find the shirtless Nico? It depends on how Italian
I
is.
Actually, I don't care how you pronounce his name, but it's,
good.
It's Nico.
Nico, okay.
Do you still talk to him?
I try not to. Yeah. He calls me a lot.
He does?
Yes.
So he's definitely going to listen to this podcast because he's probably Googling you.
Nonstop.
Ooh, you know what, Sarah? His name is Nico.
Damn, good cover. Good play.
I actually don't have a lot of questions because I was like so enthralled. I mean, Lance, I've known you for, I mean, so Lance married my cousin that I grew up with.
Happily. The entire time.
Man, he's really selling it, man.
There's never been a bad time.
So you married into a family of characters, it sounds like.
I love the family that I married into, and there's never been a moment that follows. I questioned, except for, actually, can I tell one quick story?
Yeah,
sure.
So the day that I asked my wife, my love,
the, my cousin,
the
Joelle,
everlasting being of things that I can never
keep going. Just
yeah,
move on.
Just the That's best. I asked her to marry me on Christmas morning.
Okay, smooth.
With I put a ring in an ornament on her tree in our condo,
mm-hmm.
and then that morning we went to her parents' house where Sarah's father was also at.
Okay,
and I also, I mean, this is kind of shocking. Shocking. had a couple drinks.
I don't believe that. You don't seem like someone who had drank over the holidays. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the cold, cool beer of the Rockies.
The second best.
They're number one.
Number one mountain.
That's why Coors Light is number one, because it's from the number one mountain range in the United States and Canada. And I'll tell you right now, I've had that Sierra Nevada beer. I've had the Sierra Nevada beer, and it is overrated. It's some bougie, fake.
It's fucked off.
Yeah, they made it so it tastes like something. That's not what I'm looking for.
Those mountains aren't blue.
That's exactly right. You don't even know how cold it is unless you taste it. Ridiculous.
So that the standpoint,
yeah.
Which we're sure. doing.
He was on track, Lance.
He knows how to keep the podcast going. He's got a story to tell.
Yeah. Sarah's dad, Uncle Tony, we call him.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of gave a little speech like, I'm glad to be part of the family and
yeah,
blah, 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 blah. And then, because it was later in the day, Uncle Tony says, we'll see how long this lasts.
Nice.
He did?
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Such a good, it's a fun family play to put that in there.
Listen, when I went to their wedding, my Uncle Dominic, who was like 90-something at the time, the Italian side. So my grandmother's was Italian. She passed away. And her brother Dominic is like super like Italian, like was, you know, described things as like hot and fell off a truck a lot. Like he had an airstrip in his backyard for planes because he would fly things in and out of Chicago.
There is no history of Italian people in criminal activity. I just want to put that out there. I'm not saying I want to get involved in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if opportunity arises, I know that you guys are, you know, on the level.
At their wedding, he's wearing white tennis shoes and Prada sunglasses the whole time, hitting on me constantly.
How old is he?
We are probably 90, 89 or 90 at the time.
And related.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's my great uncle.
Sarah did look good that day.
Classic Italian.
Not in a weird, like, you jizz way, like in a normal way.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
You're being respectful and at the same time complimentary.
Yeah.
Because you're a gentleman. I get it, Lance.
Sure. So at this wedding, and their friend marries them, and the ceremony is like 10 minutes. Meanwhile, my Italian uncle is like, why is this wedding so short?
Yeah.
He's like,
he wants a full mass.
And he's sitting next to me, and he's like, well, that's it? And I go, yeah, Uncle Dom, that's it. He's like, who's that guy talking up there on a microphone? And I go, oh, that's their friend, you know? And he's like, he's the priest? And I go, no, it's just like their friend. He's like, so this is all legal? And I go, what are you, now you're worried about what's legal?
This is a hot wedding.
Yeah. So he goes, so if they wants to get a divorce, they still got to do the paperwork? And I go, yeah, Uncle Dom. Like, they haven't even walked down the aisle. And he's like, why is this wedding so short?
Yeah, he wants to know the ins and outs. Listen, if the service is only 10 minutes, they shouldn't, maybe just initials on the divorce papers. You shouldn't have to write your full name. It just doesn't seem right.
But I was just thinking that, like, out of everyone in my family, like, growing up in the South, my dad's actually from Michigan, and, like, his side of the family is, like, their last name was Cole, so they're, like, mountain people, like, super redneck. Like, my uncle, like, when my grandmother died, his sister, he said he wanted to do something special, and he brought up one of those, like, flat tape recorders, like, one of, you know, like, those...
Yeah.
where the buttons were on the end.
The brick, yeah.
Yeah. And he pushes play, and it's Vince Gill singing Go Rest High on That Mountain that he's recorded off the radio.
Smart.
And he's
you don't
want to
go buy that
into a microphone.
Or CD.
And you can hear him fumbling around in the background because yeah. he's recording it off the radio.
Hey, they're playing the song for the funeral. hold on. I pushed play. I didn't push record and
God
play.
God damn
the
it,
time.
Sandy. His wife's name is Sandy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I was just thinking that, like, out of everyone, like, Lance is my most redneck relative that married into
somehow.
The family. Like, none of my other relatives have worked at a rodeo and handled snakes.
Yeah, that's the thing, is very few people Thank have you. Handed a rattlesnake to an unsuspecting drunk golfer. When I was in high school, one of the electives I took was called team games, and it was literally just gym class for 16-year-olds. And so, like, some weeks you would just go play basketball. I'm like, and we get credit for this shit? It was like, you can either take French or team games. So I took team games, and it was me and a bunch of fucking morons.
That sounds like
it
something
beautiful.
You get canceled for now.
It should have been. And so one day, Mr. Juracek was our gym teacher, and he's like, Hey, we're going to go play tennis today. And everyone's like, we don't want to fucking play tennis. It's a bunch of fucking dudes. We just want to basically play basketball. So he makes us go play tennis. No one knows how to play because we're a bunch of fucking idiots in Kansas. And so he puts me on a doubles team with this guy named Greg Rodden. And Greg Rodden was like, he was like a football player. His claim to fame at that time was like he set the record for most weight in squats or something. So, you know, it was a big deal. In the weight room, his name was on the wall. And so he's like, do you know how to play tennis? I go, fuck no. And so he's like, we're just going to hit it as hard as we can. I'm like, all right, sounds like a good plan. You don't argue with Greg fucking Rodden. So we're playing with these other dudes, and they keep hitting it over like we're really playing tennis. And Greg just keeps launching fucking tennis balls as far as he can. I'm just like, all right, whatever. So at a certain point, Mr. Juracek realizes what's going on. He's like, hey, what's going on over there? What are you guys doing? And so we're like, oh, Greg hit the ball over there. He was like, how bad did he miss? That must have gone 100 yards. So he made us go pick up the tennis balls. And so we're just like, whatever, we go. We're picking up tennis balls. And at maybe 2 minutes in, Greg's like, hey, there's a snake over here. And he goes over and he just uses the tennis racket, holds the head down. Mm. And then he picks up the snake from behind the head, like you were saying. So he's picking it up, Mr. Juracek. Hey, what are you guys doing? Quit grab-assing.
grab-assing.
He comes over, and Greg's like, I found the snake. And Mr. Juracek is visibly uncomfortable. Like, fear of snakes is so apparent. And Greg's like, hey, I want to take the snake to the environmental lab. And he's like, just put the fucking snake down. And he's like, no, I'm taking it to the environmental lab. And he's like, I said put the snake down. And Greg just tosses the snake at Mr. Juracek. And we're all just like,
oh, my God.
And Juracek goes, scrub, oh, what was that? Oh. He's like, you said put it down. Not at me. He got mad. And then I believe he sent Greg to the office, and then nothing happened because the office was like, wait, we have a class called team games? That's a thing? Team. Mr. Juracek? He still works here?
For the leftover kids that need to do a PE.
The what?
The leftover kids that need to do a PE.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, no offense.
Dude, again, no offense is taken by me in any of this.
Lance is also really good. Every time you were talking about a rattlesnake on the golf course, it made me think of the Flintstones, because didn't they use snakes as golf clubs?
I believe that is correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Anyway, I was thinking of that, but then
based on fact, from what I know.
Lance is actually an incredibly talented golfer because he worked at a golf course for a long time.
He's got
he's also
the background.
If you work at a golf course, you're talented at golf.
His knowledge of the 7-iron is all it took for me to know this guy was real deal.
But he can hit a ball off of a can of Coors Light, right?
I can use any beer can.
It's not limited to Coors Light, Sarah.
He doesn't want to ruin his sponsorship capabilities down the road.
Normally,
if
I use
Miller High Life is offering the most money.
Altamont Beer Works, Livermore, California, LTD.
God, local brands. This guy, he knows.
He's all
about branding.
He has a keg in the garage and
a growler. They do have a beer called Caddyshack, which
nice.
I mean, it also has a little tea on it. So shout out.
Yeah. It's a great beer. It is a great beer up north, and like I've performed there at their brewery.
The Altamont Beer Works.
Yeah, it's really good.
Good drink. It's good. Good beer.
But I, it's not my favorite Lance drinking story. Because
this guy has he's had hijinks in Sue before.
My favorite Lance drinking story is when his neighbors went out of town and asked him and my cousin to keep an eye on the house and make sure their teenager that was staying
might
home alone.
Coors Light for this one.
Do you want to tell that? I can move on to another story.
No, this is great. I like this story. It's good.
Told them to.
In general, I always need more Coors Light.
Oh, smart. Are you already out again? I just brought you two.
They're both empty.
Okay. That's
well,
four.
Chris isn't doing anything.
I know. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He doesn't know where the kitchen is.
The brewmeister.
Anyway, your neighbors asked you to watch the house, right?
Yes.
And then said, what happened?
Said.
Don't, you know, make sure the kid doesn't throw any parties.
Said, hey, we're going out of town. Just kind of like check on the house. Make sure there's nothing, no hijinks going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
They asked the king of hijinks to keep an eye on them.
They said, hey, go ask the rattlesnake guy next door if he'll make sure that nothing happens.
So, but I didn't know she had a stepson. See, this is the stepson thing comes in.
Yeah.
I just thought there's a daughter, you know, she's 14, you know.
She's not going to get into trouble.
Yeah, nothing. A couple girls, like, maybe they'll come over and watch. I don't even know what 14-year-old girls watch, but they're going to watch some 14-year-old stuff.
TikTok
all of a sudden, there is a parade of teenagers showing up. And we're also having our own little Halloween party.
Yeah, him and his friends are in their
so
driveway.
So we're having, you know, we're
competing
hanging out.
Age levels.
I didn't know it was competing at the time, but it ended up happening. We're like, what the fuck's going on? And also, I'm like, she asked me. I'm leaning away from the mic, but yeah, she asked me like, hey, check it out. Like, make sure nothing happens over there. And now there's 30 kids.
Right.
So
storm's like, brewing.
I grab, again, I'm not going to use any names,
right?
But Mike Nod and I went over there.
Yeah.
What's good? Like, we just walked in the side door. Like, well, this is a hell of a party going on over here. And then people just kept rolling in. So, like, well, and then I found the daughter that was there. Like, hey, do you want all these people here? She's like, no, there's way too many people here. So then Mike and I started charging cover charge. We wanted to come in inside the party.
Yeah, obviously.
So.
You're an American, right? Capitalism is a thing, right?
So the front door is $5 to come in, and then we took all the money, like $5, $5, and the kids were coming in like fucking wildfire.
Yeah.
I don't know. You live in California, obviously.
Yeah.
Like wildfire is bad.
Yeah.
That's how fast they are coming in.
Yeah.
So we made like over $100 real fast.
Nice.
And then told the nice girl that was 14 years old, like, you need to get all your friends out of here.
So smart.
Because there's way too many fucking people in here.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to call the cops on you.
Yeah.
And then they did, but then also the cops came and we just gave her all the money.
You gave her the money? The 14-year-old?
We gave the girl all the money.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's not part of
the money.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you kept the money. You went and bought
more
beer.
No, we didn't give it. No.
I assume.
She's 14 years old.
No, I don't mean you bought beer for her.
Yeah, we thought you bought beer for
yourself. No, we're not buying it. She's 14 years old.
We're not saying you're buying beer for her. We're saying, but why did you give her the money? Because it was her house and she was the one.
We kept all the money and bought a bunch of beer.
That's what I thought. That's
exactly what I thought.
That's why we kept asking the questions. Yeah.
And when her mom's like, what the fuck happened? I was like, I told him not to come. You know, I was like, she also asked us to keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Right.
I was there and it was crazy. She shouldn't have had.
And for Lance to think something's crazy, it must be really fucking
crazy.
He's
like, what the fuck are these kids doing? God damn it.
That's all I have because. I don't want to hear any more things that I'm going to have to talk about at Christmas
dinner. I do have one more question. It says here that you shit your pants. And at some point, we have a pretty steady record.
Also because he listens to all the episodes.
I did. And he was like, I felt like there was a good shit the pants story involved. So I need to throw that one in there.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you're aware, because I was about to tell you that we've had quite a few people shit their pants on this story.
I know. That's all, you know.
When you shit your pants, you're like, you know what? I should do podcasts.
We're going to have to start ranking them like the mountain ranges in America.
It's hard to say who the Rocky Mountains of pants shitting is, but I have a feeling he might be sitting across the room from us right now.
It's really, you know, Rick.
No, don't pretend.
Don't get bashful now,
all
right?
Now, all of a sudden.
Cat's out of the bag. We know the pants have been shat. What was the scenario?
So scenario is, and Chris will enjoy this, and Chris is also sitting off to the side of here.
Yeah, Chris is my boyfriend. He's also here.
So went on a golf trip with my buddy. I don't want to talk about names. His name's Ryan Higgins. And fourth day of hitting the bar, like golfing every day, hitting the bar hard, like with nachos, jalapenos.
Obviously. And that's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
What kind of bar food were you hitting? Boom, we
just
already know.
Just nachos, jalapenos.
Yeah.
And fourth day, we're heading out of town, like literally got in the rental car, like, when are we ever going to be in fucking Jacksonville ever again?
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
Like, never,
not
ever,
a reason
ever
on earth, yeah.
It was like, let's check TPC Sawgrass right now. And we're driving out. And, like, they have a tee time. We can just hit. If we go straight there, we can hit it. So go straight there, TPC Sawgrass. For, I know Rick doesn't know, Chris knows, infamous Island Green on number 17. Like, you got to go there. We're never going to go there again.
Yeah.
But we've been partying for 4 or 5 days.
Right.
Pretty fucking good. And
sounds like some John Walker Jones.
Yeah.
Vegas vibes. Yeah. Partying really hard for a few days.
So we're on 15, par 5. Little dog leg left. Nothing big.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And I'm just going to just little draw around the trees. And I hit a slice.
Yeah.
And I went like, oh, shit. That was not a draw.
Yeah. Things did not go as planned.
So we had a caddy with us with a cart. And so what I did is I took my friend Ryan, no names involved, Ryan Higgins' bag right after my bag. The cart, I put it in the middle of the fairway, and I drove as fast as I possibly could. Did a little shart action.
Yeah.
And I drove as fast as I possibly could to the bathroom, the closest bathroom I could find. So when I drove back, and they're like, what the fuck, dude? Where you been?
Yeah.
Like, I shit my pants.
Yeah.
Shit my pants. I threw my underwear away. No, those are totally gone. And I just soaked my pants. I just put them right in the sink.
Yeah.
Got them all wet.
Yeah.
That was because there's no shit stains in one spot.
You kept the pants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to keep the ball. I mean, come on, Rick. You know what I mean?
I got to get to the 17th hole. It's an island.
Legendary hole coming up.
Yeah. Soaked them. Got them all wet. And then, because they were both like, I got back to the green, so I didn't finish that hole. So I actually shot a 75 that day because I didn't finish a hole.
Yeah.
It's great. But they're like,
the handicap the caddy, suffered from the pan shitting.
The caddy and my friend, who will not be named, Ryan Higgins.
Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, I shit my pants, guys. This fucking nachos last. Three nights of those nachos.
Yeah, it wasn't the nachos. It was the jalapenos, if we're being completely real.
Yeah. And thanks for having my back on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something that, you know, as whites, we are not prepared
didn't
for
see those ones coming.
Multiple days of jalapenos.
As whites.
A couple of whites, you know. You know, you go to the ball game, you get some jalapenos on your nachos. You go to a game the next day, you hot dog it. You don't you don't nacho it up with more jalapenos. Otherwise, seventh inning stretch, you're going to be shitting your pants.
You got to be sitting down the whole time.
Well, yeah. You know, thanks for Rick. Thanks for understanding.
Yeah. And look, I'm always there to understand a good shit your pants story.
Now we know, like, the toughest hole at Sawgrass is the butthole.
Yeah. Well played. Well played.
16th.
The 16th.
Did par 17, by the way.
Nice.
Just so we know.
He's got to put it out there. He parred the island. So there's some good and some bad.
I was all cleaned out. Cleaned out.
And have you ever been to Jacksonville again?
No, never. And no, never will.
You are
be.
Right.
No.
You are right. He when knew. Are we ever going to be in Jacksonville?
Yeah. Let's leave some underwear in the fucking on the course. We're not coming back.
If you find a pair of Champion underwear.
I like a man who remembers the brand. He was throwing away just like, fuck, these are my Champion undies. God damn it. It's not just some
16.
Hanes bullshit.
They're good. They're navy blue.
I mean, that's a better option. At least if you shit the navy blues, it's not as obvious. What about the pants? You still have the pants today?
No.
No. Gone.
No, I died.
The legend has died.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't keep those ones.
Sorry.
But you know what? You know what, Rick? To be honest with you?
Yeah. Please do.
They were black.
Okay.
They lasted a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good to go. That's why you don't golf in white pants.
I'm a couple sizes lighter than I was then.
You were bigger.
I was bigger man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
the bigger man always shits his pants at the golf club.
Yeah, maybe that was my problem. Looking for my next meal.
If you have to choose between shitting your pants or getting bit by a rattlesnake, I think you made the right choice. Could be wrong. Lance, you have anything you want to promote?
Sierra Tiana has a
no,
lot of stuff.
No, you can promote. You don't want to promote.
No, there's nothing I want to promote.
Coors Light,
sure.
Anything?
Yeah, of course. Hey, if the mountains are blue, drink them.
Such a valuable message. We're going to get that sponsorship by the end of this month for sure. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on, Lance. Thanks for telling stories,
you're,
man.
You're awesome.
Very fun.
Thank you very much.
All right. Live show already happened.
Right. But the episodes will be coming up soon. So, yeah. Just keep listening.
Keep listening, yeah.
If you want to be a guest, DM us on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah, I had a friend today go, where the hell do you find these people? Mm-hmm. And I go, we just ask on social media. And he goes, oh, that makes sense. Anyone who's on social media and thinks they need to be on a podcast is exactly the type of person we're looking for.
And if you are a security guard at Livermore Lab
or 90s. Oak Park Mall, we apologize for nothing.
Hey, come at me.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right.
See you next time.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's Ingraham Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.